Sensei, I would like to thank the organizer for the invitation, you for coming this afternoon, Sunday afternoon, and I prepared something relatively soft for a Sunday afternoon. Well, I am going to speak on on non-dominated homoclinic classes. In fact, well, I will speak on C1, I consider C1 diffuse, and in fact I am interested on robustly non-dominated homoclinic classes. Then the goal of my talk is to try to give some dynamical consequence of this non-dominated dynamic. And also, I would like to explain how to get this type, of dynamic easily. In fact, I will try to explain that in some sense, bifurcation of partial hyperbolic systems leads in a natural way to this kind of dynamics, and the natural way is something that we call heterodimensional tangencies. I will explain this later. Well, my talk will more or less start in the about the last slide of the Bonatti's talk, and then let me start with the Newhouse example about the creation of diffuse with infinitely many things. Well, more or less the construction is the following. We start with a linear horseshoe. Let me consider the simplest case. I have a rectangle. I split this rectangle in three sub-rectangles. Let's call L1, L2, and L0. And the important point here is that the size of L0 is very small in comparison with the size of L1 and L2. And then, well, let me suppose that L1 is orange, mapped like this. Okay. L2 is purple, mapped like this. Again, an important thing is that the size of this segment is small in comparison with the other segment. And well, we complete the traditional horseshoe mapping L0 in something like that. Then we have a diffuse F, and then the maximal invariant in this rectangle L is, the traditional linear horseshoe. Then we have here a fixed point. Let me call this fixed point P. We have the stable direction, or manifold, sorry. Here we have the unstable manifold here. And the important part, well, here I am assuming that this contraction is stronger than this expansion. That means that the product of the two eigenvalues is less than one. Okay? But the important part is that all my hyperbolic set is in this rectangle. And then the construction of Newhouse was more or less the following. Well, you modify here the dynamics to produce a homoclinic tangency associated to the stable manifold of P and the unstable manifold of P. Okay? We can do this, or he did this, the creation of the tangency without destroying the hyperbolic set, because all the perturbation is in this part, far from the hyperbolic set. Then the result of Newhouse, and here is appears the relation with the last slide of the Bonatti's talk, is the following. Well, if, well, here define two objects that I just give a very rough idea. If the product of these two things, this is the stable and unstable thickness of the of the of the horseshoe. The thickness in a very rough definition is the quotient between this length and this one. And then if this product is bigger than one, then when we do this this tangency, the following happens. Well, the diffeo F belongs to the closure of an open set, let's call T. T is an open set, such that for every diffeo in the open set T, there is homoclinic tangency associated to some or to lambda. Here by homoclinic tangency means that there are a point here in the hyperbolic set lambda, and there are other saddle in the hyperbolic set lambda, such that, well, after perturbation we have a tangency. And this was the main step of the Newhouse construction of infinitely of diffeo having infinitely many things. I will give a complete statement of the result, but the main point here is that all this construction is C2, and as Christian mentioned in his talk, probably is, well, for me it's probably the one of the most important problems in dynamics, is to know, at least in C1 dynamics, if we can perform the same, a similar construction in the C1 case. Well, there is a result of Ures that says that in the C1 topology, a hyperbolic set has thickness equal to zero, generically. And this means that in some sense, there is no hope to translate directly the Newhouse construction to the C1 topology, at least for surface diffeomorphism. Well, let me state the result of Newhouse, because I will explain. Well, the goal of my talk is how to get this kind of phenomena, coexistence, a persistent coexistence of infinitely many things, in the C1 topology. But for that, I will need to consider a manifold of dimension at least three. Well, the Newhouse theorem is the following. If you take the space of C2 diffeos in a surface, and we take a diffeo F with a dissipative homoclinic tangency. Dissipative means that the product of the two eigenvalues is less than one. Then there is, or there are, an open set in the space of C2 diffeos. The diffeo F belongs to the closure of U. There is also a residual subset of U. Let's call L, such that every H in R has infinitely many things. Well, roughly, this proof is very, the proof of this theorem is really hard. The naive a sketch of the proof of Newhouse is more or less the following. We start with homogeneous tangency like this. We perturb the diffeo to have to get, well, heteroclinic points, okay? The next step of the proof of Newhouse is that after doing the perturbation, we get horseshoes like this, that is horseshoes with big thickness, and then horseshoes with big thickness with homogeneous tangency have persistent tangencies, and well, the general principle is that always that we have a tangency, we can create a thing. And then more or less you create a thing, you keep your thing in your pocket, you create another tangency, well, create another thing, and you go on until obtaining infinitely many things. But all this stuff is C2. And I insist, it's an open question if we can do this kind of things in the C1 topology. Well, let me now to explain the next step of my talk. Well, let me also mention that this, well, after doing the after unfolding the tangency, okay, in this case, the homogeneic class of P, well, I will define the homogeneic class later in a few minutes, doesn't admit any dominated splitting. That is an example. This is an example of non-dominated, in a persistent way, homoclinic class. Okay? Well, let me now try to explain to you how it's possible to get a similar result in higher dimensions in the C1 topology. Then the goal is similar result, that is, I will call this phenomenon Newhouse coexistence of simply coexistence phenomenon. Well, then the goal is to get a similar coexistence phenomenon in the C1 topology, and we need to consider manifolds of dimension at least 3, and in my talk from now on I will consider a manifold of dimension 3. Okay? Well, in this proof, let me write here Newhouse, then the main ingredient of Newhouse is the notion of thickness. And thickness is an object that only works really well in the C2 topology. Then we consider something that I will try to explain that we call blender, that is very good and plays a similar role, but is a C1 object. Then everything goes very well in TC1 topology. Moreover, blenders are things very simple in comparison with thickness that involve very difficult calculation involving distortion. That is the reason because we need to consider C2 map. Okay? Well, I didn't explain what is a blender in this talk, but I will explain to you the main property of blenders that we call distinctive property, that is the key of all our constructions. But let me now state a fair result. That is, it was a paper with Bonatti who yells, and myself. And the paper says the following. Well, let me write here before a definition. If you take a saddle, P is a hyperbolic saddle, then we define the homoclinic class of P for the diffuse F as the closure of the transverse intersection of its invariant manifold. Okay, closure, sorry. And this object is always the same as well. You can define the homoclinic relation. Let me recall what is homoclinic relation. If you have two saddles, P and Q, we say that these two saddles are homoclinically relation if and only if the stable manifold of P meets transversely the unstable of Q, and the same for the unstable of P and the stable of P. Then the homoclinic class is the closure of the saddles homoclinically related to P. This is equivalent, okay? Well, I have no time to explain to you why homoclinic classes are important. Just three comments. Well, this horseshoe is homoclinic class. For instance, the basic set in the Snell theory are homoclinic class. For instance, Christian mentioned in his talk, if you take a generic diffeo, that is a diffeo in the C1 topology, a diffeo in a residual subset, then every chain recurrent class containing a periodic point is a homoclinic class. Then more or less, the general principle is that you try to organize the dynamics of a diffeo considering, well, the homoclinic classes, but in general, the non-Wandering set may contain more strange things. But, well, let me also say that a homoclinic class verifies two properties which are important. The first one is transitivity, and the second one is that the periodic points are dense in the homoclinic class. In general, homoclinic class fail to be hyperbolic. In fact, in this talk, essentially all the homoclinic class that we consider will fail to be hyperbolic. That is the important case for us. Well, now we have here the definition of the object. Sorry, and then I can state the theorem. Well, we consider the space of C1 diffeo, and then there is a residual subset L here, so that we have the following situation. For every diffeo in this residual set, for every saddle of F, here we are considering a residual set, then the periodic points are hyperbolic. Then we have the following dichotomy. Either the homoclinic class of P has a dominated splitting. Well, I think that Enrique this morning explained the definition of homoclinic of dominated splitting. I just mentioned the properties of the dominated splitting that I will use later, or that is the interesting part for us. The homoclinic class of P is contained in the closure of infinitely, well, let me write in other way, is contained in the closure of the set of sinks and repellers of F. Well, let me mention that this situation here only may occur if the class is non-trivial, because if the class is trivial, consists of a single point, and the saddles are hyperbolic, then there is nothing to do. And then, if we are in this situation, that is interesting situation for us, well, we have that the homogeneic class is not finite, then the only possibility of an infinite set to be included in the closure of something is that this set is also infinite. But in other words, if we prove that this situation, we can obtain this second situation in a robust way, that is, we construct a homogeneic class which is non-dominated for every diffeo in a neighborhood of F, well, we are in this possibility in an open set, and then we have necessarily the Newhouse result. We have the situation of Newhouse. Then let me now to explain the next step is how to get this kind of situation. Then the next step of my talk is how to get robustly homogeneous. Okay. Well, okay. Well, the simplest way of obtaining this this kind of robustly non-nominated homogeneous classes, in fact, this was the first example in a work with Christel, we did the following. Well, we have start in dimension 3, take two saddles like this, we have this situation. Then we have here a saddle Q of index 2. The index is the dimension of the unstable bundle, and a saddle of index 1. And we have that the unstable manifold of Q meets along a curve, the stable manifold of P. Then we create that something that we call a heterodimensional cycle, that is the following. We have that this one-dimensional unstable manifold of P meets in, well, not, it's not possible to get a transverse intersection, but we can obtain an intersection as transverse as possible, something like this. Then we obtain a heterodimensional cycle. This configuration is called heterodimensional cycle. Then, if we assume that here, that is the simplest construction, the distortion is small. In fact, this condition is not necessary, but I prefer to use this case. Then we do the following. We move to the right, I think, the unstable manifold of P, creating some transverse homogeneic points of P. That is, there is an explosion of the homogeneic class of P. And then, if the distortion here is small, we can prove the following. Let me repeat the picture. Well, first, let me consider something that we call a neighborhood of the cycle. That is, we consider all the intersections, and then we take a neighborhood of, well, the orbit of this heteroclinic point, and also, well, probably need to consider a new intersection, and the orbit of this heteroclinic intersection. Let me call this neighborhood. And then the next thing is we move this intersection to the right, creating a homogeneic point of P. The unstable manifold of P meets here the stable manifold of P. Well, then I can explain to you what is the distinctive property of a blender. The distinctive property is the following. If you take any disk transfer to the stable manifold of P, we take here a two disk transfer to the stable manifold of P. Let me call this disk D. Then what happens is that the unstable manifold of Q, that is one dimensional, intersects transversely the disk D. That means the following. Well, if you take here another disk, well, let me make another picture here. If we consider the iteration of the stable manifold of Q, what happens is that in some sense we fill this rectangle. That means in some sense this one-dimensional manifold has topological dimension too. At some extent we can think of this manifold as a two-dimensional manifold, because we have here a lot of segment what in some sense forbidden to go from below to above without intersecting the closure of this mesh. Well, what is the dynamical consequence of this situation? Well, if you take any point here, you can take a disk here. This disk is contained in the unstable manifold of Q. That means that this curve, purple one, that I call gamma, this curve is contained in the homogeneic class of Q. And as homogeneic class is a closed set, we have that this saddle contains contains the other saddle Q. Well, the important thing here is that to do this construction, the only thing that we need to consider, or the only part of the dynamics which is relevant for us, is what happens in the neighborhood of the cycle. In fact, the important thing is what happens in this special neighborhood. In other words, what happened in the other room for us is completely indifferent for obtaining this property. Then we can see what is the dynamics in the other room. And to get a non-dominated homogeneic class, well, our construction were the following. Well, we have here the first picture. Okay. And then, if we assume that there is here a saddle P prime, let me just make a picture. The saddle P prime is a saddle of index 1, that is, the stable bundle has dimension 2. Let me assume that the contracting eigenvalue is not real. And then suppose that there is a saddle P prime in the other room, which is homoclinically related to P. Let me try to complete the figure. That means this manifold, unstable manifold of P prime meets the stable manifold of P, and also, well, also in orange, this manifold meets it. Well, we know that the Domokini class is this, it contains, is this, the standard homogeneically related to P, then, well, we have that P prime, the homogeneous class of P prime is equal to the homogeneous class of P. In fact, a little more work implies that it is contained in the homogeneous class of Q. The same proof that they did there. Well, suppose now that there is now another saddle here, Q prime, which now has index 1, index 2, that is, it has unstable bundle of dimension 2. Let me assume that this bundle, the derivative has a complex eigenvalue. And we have that Q prime is homogeneically related to Q. Let me escape to of doing the picture. Then what happens is that then the homogeneous class of Q prime is equal, because this relation here, to the homogeneous class of P. Then, in other words, we have that the homogeneous class of Q contains two saddles, P prime and Q prime. These saddles have index 1, an act contracting complex eigenvalue, and this saddle has index 2 and has a expanding complex eigenvalue. Now, I will explain in 1 minute that this prevents the domination. Well, the proof now is easy because, well, assume that the homogeneous class of P, of Q, sorry, has a dominated splitting. Well, we are in dimension 2, and then we have two possibilities of this one is one-dimensional and this one is two-dimensional, or the converse. Let me assume that we are in this situation. Well, then we consider this is splitting in the point P prime. Well, you have that the point P prime is something like this. And here we have a complex, an unreal eigenvalue. Well, and then using the domination, it is easy to see that the bundle E must be here, inside the stable bundle of P, Well, but the existence of the complex eigenvalue prevents the existence of an invariant one-dimensional bundle. Then, in this way, we obtain a non-dominated homogeneous class. Well, now the question is, well, there is a simple way of obtaining non-dominated homogeneous classes, but then this a priori seems to be too complicated. Then, well, I think that the answer is positive. Well, I think that the answer, there is other ways. And let me explain, I have 12 minutes, the notion of heterodimensional tangency, and explain why heterodimensional tangencies lead to non-dominated homogeneous classes, and also I will try to convince you to do some propaganda why the heterodimensional tangencies are good bifurcation in the partially hyperbolic setting. Well, I have only 12 minutes, then is this afternoon, Sunday. Let me call this example ideal cycle. Then I will give the proof in the case of ideal cycles, of ideal interdimensional cycles, like this. And well, what happens is that always that we have a more complicated situation, we always find an ideal cycle and reduce to this case. That is more or less the general principle. It's a bit more complicated, but well, I have 12 minutes. There. Okay, well, the next, let me give another definition, a simple definition. Well, here we have an open set, V. And there, it is natural to consider the maximal invariant set in V and to call this set lambda F. Well, we say that this set is robustly transitive. Well, I think that Enrique talked about robustly transitive diffeos this morning. This is robustly transitive set. Well, this means that this set is transitive. That is, there are dense orbits. And moreover, if we take a diffeo G, C1 closed, well, this is the definition of C1 robustly transitive, then if we consider the maximal invariant set of G in V, this set is also transitive. Well, the next thing is a bit more complicated to prove, but it's not really hard to prove, is that this set that I construct here is robustly transitive. This set here is robustly transitive. Well, now I need to consider the Newhouse picture. And I need also to do a new picture in a more or less parallel way. Well, more or less, the robustly transitive set lambda F is here. Well, let me consider three more iterations. Let me call here P and Q. What is the idea behind, well, the first step in the proof of Newhouse? Well, we have a part with this, that is free from the point of the set lambda. In some sense, the set lambda F here plays the role of the horseshoe here. Well, let me also mention that we can do this construction in such a way the tangent bundle of M has three bundles, one stable one, or strong stable, that correspond to this and this direction, one central that correspond more or less to this direction, and one strong unstable that correspond to the unstable direction. Then this set is partially hyperbolic with three bundles, okay? Then the set lambda F more or less plays the role of the set lambda here of the horseshoe, but which is the part free from point of lambda F? Well, if all the set lambda F is in this part, then here we have room for doing perturbations in the same spirit as this one. Then the thing that we do is to follow the idea of Newhouse, to push with the finger, then I will push with my finger, and then I will do here. Here we will create, let me make here another picture, we have a disk contained in the stable manifold of P, and we have a parabolic intersection between the unstable manifold of Q and the stable manifold of T. Well, that is that we can call a three-dimensional tangency. Well, in some sense, we have a non-transverse intersection between there, between points of lambda f. Let me make some heuristic interpretation of the things. In some sense, the unstable manifold of Q behaves is one-dimensional, but it, in some sense, has dimension two. That means that in some sense, we can think that this point has two indices. It's a b-indexed out point. It has index one, but also, in some sense, it has the properties of the point of index two. And the same, well, for that we need to work a little more, for the point P. In some sense, well, here we have something that is a generalization of the homokinetic tangency in the construction of Newhouse. Then, what is the next step? Well, the next step is to do the same that Newhouse did here. We move, in some sense, we unfold the tangency to create an intersection that is a very small d between the stable manifold of P and the unstable manifold of Q. Let me call it sigma. Well, but what happens now? We can use this property, the distinctive properties of Blender. And the distinctive properties of Blender, the same proof that we did for the curve gamma, we can do now for the curve sigma. What happens then? That we have that the homokinetic class of Q contains a very small circle. Well, many people propose exercise. The exercise, the proof is similar to this one, to prove that this prevents the existence of a dominated splitting, and the proof is exactly the same, well, more or less, is the same that I did in some blackboard here. Okay. Then that is the general idea. Well, this is a very special situation, and then in the last 5 minutes, let me state a theorem. The theorem is the following. Well, I will state the theorem in the simplest case. There is a more general version of this, but well, that is joined with Nogueira, Enrique Pujals, myself. Well, let's assume that you have a robustly transitive set which is non-hyperbolic. Well, this is in dimension 3. Well, here, that the set is not hyperbolic, that means that we have saddles of indices 1 and 2. Well, being non-hyperbolic is more or less the same, like this, at least open and densely. And then, assume that this set has a three-dimensional tangency. In fact, a priori, this tangency may be associated to a dynamical configuration much more difficult, much more complicated than this one. Well, the result is that the conclusion in the Newhouse theorem holds. That means that there is an open set. This is all in the C1 topology. Let me call the diffeo with the robustly transitive set F, then there is an open set. The initial diffeo is contained in the closure of U, such that for every and a residual subset, such that for every H in R, H has infinitely. Many things or retailers. In fact, it's possible to know in which situation we are, but I prefer to escape this. That means that we are in the new house situation. Well, more or less, the proof is, well, always that we have a heterodimensional tangency, it is possible to get a heterodimensional tangency associated to ideal cycle. Well, as the proof, let me, I have no time to do the proof, but let me at least give a very, very, very naive step of the proof. That is the main point. Well, we have that these two saddles, we have two saddles of indices 1 and 2. Then, using the transitivity of the set, we can obtain inside the set a saddle node like this. This is the saddle node that is after perturbation inside the set, well, the robustly transitive set. Well, then we can perturb this partial hyperbolic saddle node to get two saddles. Something like this. Well, the dynamics here, well, is close to identity because, well, for the period. And then, well, everybody agreed that something close to the identity has a small distortion. And then the next step, let me call this point B, at this point A, using the transitivity and the connecting lemma of Hayase, that is all the stuff in the talk of Christian, we can create a heterodimensional cycle like this. Well, this point will be homoclinically related to some of the points here. This point will be homoclinically related to the other points. Well, we can obtain now that this homoclinic class A contains the small circles there. More or less, this is the proof. Let me just mention that there is a similar result for homoclinic classes, but the statement is a little more complicated, and the proof is more technical, and that is my last word, because in the robustly transitive set, when we do the perturbation and obtain the saddle node, then the saddle node is automatically inside the robustly transitive set, and then everything is nice. But in the case of homoclinic classes, we can do all the perturbation, but may occur that this saddle escapes from the homoclinic class, and then we are lost, and then there's some technical problem for solving. And then thank you so much for the attention.